This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
And from ESPN Studios in New York City, in the Seaport District, Pier 17. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. And we are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Bart, last night as the Monday Night Football game ended, and the Patriots came away with the win that we are going to describe in any way we can, especially you from a linebacker's defensive-minded perspective. I just saw Bill Belichick on the sideline, and it just hit me, that scene at the very early part of A New Hope, Star Wars, came out in 77, where Darth Vader steps through a door. There's just dead rebels all around him, smoke everywhere. And he just steps in, inspecting the scene, and you hear, of course, the Imperial Death March. And that's what I thought of as I'm looking at Belichick as that game is finished, as it's ending in Buffalo, in terrible weather. Him just surveying the scene, the carcasses laying on the field. All again, it's just the elements and everything, and him just looking around. Again, dominating as he usually does, the mastermind of the game. And the other side doesn't want to give him any credit, and I don't blame him. But you have to. You have to.
Well, they're not, right? Because they get to see him again. And listen, for the Patriots, this was advantage Patriots. Elements bad. Have to run the ball. Swirling winds. Not able to kick field goals. That's advantage Patriots because you think the better quarterback, the better skill positions on the outside were all on the Diggs, Stephon Diggs, and I forget the number 13. They got to start playing him more, but Emmanuel Sanders, Knox. They didn't have the horses to run the football. And listen, I knew it was going to be that type of day, and Bill was like, listen, once he got the big run, all the pressure is on the Bills now to
catch up. You're chasing us the rest of the game. Like, again, the two-point conversion. And to me, Bart, that goes back to Belichick and execution and discipline and why he is the way he is, why the certain players that can only play for him. This is it. Because in a situation like this, his team will out-discipline, out-execute you. When you have these elements and you're limited to what you do, we can do it because our guys execute. We get it done. And that first touchdown, that was basically the game.
Yeah.
It was basically the game.
That basically it. Explosive play. Now, they try to give it back because N'Keal Harry just can't get out of his own way. Now, listen, you're out there for one reason, and that's to – they're trying to get some type of value out of you, right? Your first-round draft pick, they're trying to say, okay, return kicks. Okay, be a blocker because we're not throwing the ball, but be a blocker because you're the biggest guy, not because you're the best receiver we got, but because you're the only guy out there that's 6'3", 6'4", 220. And you messed that up. Like, you slip, and then you double down by chasing it. If you slip, you didn't touch it the first time. Just get away from it. Why are you running to it?
But I barely touched it.
But he ran to it.
I know.
Like,
you're right.
Once you slip, it's called scatter. That means go the opposite way, not lean forward and let it bounce up and touch your face.
Right.
But, you know, just listen, Bill did what he was supposed to do, right? He only threw the ball two times. But, man, if I'm the Bills, man, like, you know how that thing say, hey, tell me you this without telling me you this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, tell me you scared, and the physicality kind of hurt a little bit without telling me that you're scared, right? And when I see linebackers sitting at 3 yards, that means, like, I don't want these linemen to come off of me and throw me out the club, so let me get up here close so I can try and hide with everybody else. When you know it's going to be a running game, 9-on-7, I'm at 5 yards. You know what 5 yards does for me? One, it allows me to see and be able to make the adjustments. Two, it makes the impacts harder because now I got 5 yards ahead start. You got 5 yards ahead start. And when you talk about that touchdown pass, because guys were on different on the same level, they were too flat. Like, how many times have we ever seen like an all out blitz, right? And then somebody breaks the first level, and then the person they're just gone. That's why you tell your linebackers, you get back at 5. You tell your safeties, you sit at 12. So you can make the adjustment Because if you make a mistake, the closer you are, you make a mistake, it's magnified because you can't make the adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can run around.
Well,
once he got once he got 5 yards, he was gone. It was nobody else in the picture.
Yeah. Yeah, except the one safety who was completely.
Yeah, my guy.
Michael Hyde was too close. He could not get there fast enough.
And that's why the worst place to ever be is in the middle. Like, we're taught as defenders to always be on the side. But if you line up over the center and the guy busts through, then now you head up. Like, so all he got to do is one little eek and it's over with. But that's not even the most egregious thing I saw. Like, they basically ran four running plays. Four. It was a trap up the middle.
You mean the same four?
The same four.
Yeah, because they only threw it three times.
And they just flip sides. They tried one with Jonnu Smith. But you got to be the world's biggest dummy to see N'Keal Harry out there get in your three-point stands and get up the field. Because guess what? And Keyshawn is going to be on the show. And Keyshawn was the same guy, especially when Keyshawn was in Dallas, right? He was a big guy. He can try and just mad dog some of these corners. But I'm sure Keyshawn every once in a while was sent in short motion to try and hit a defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got to be some type of dummy to, one, give up a play on this on the left side, but then give up the same damn play on the right side because it's a different DN. Like, dummy, did you not see or hear when you had the big play? Did you not look up at the monitor and see what happened? N'Keal Harry is not there to run a route. So, as defenders, this was comical. But, you know, sometimes what's common ain't common, right? So you assume it's common sense that every football player would know that. No way am I going to be 250 pounds getting de-cleated or pent down by a little bitty-ass receiver. Clearly, they not that. It's like, yeah, they that dumb. Because this is the issue. When a receiver sets, he can't move. When you're a defensive end.
And explain that. When a receiver sets, he can't move until the ball is snapped.
Right. He can't move unless he's sent in motion. But if he's on the ball, he can't because he would have to step off. It has to be a shift in motion. Pause. That means he has to go to the other side or short motion or something like that. But once he's in his stands, he can't move.
Right.
And guess where the receiver is setting his alignment to? To be in a position to do his work. So if you're a DN.
Which is to block.
Yes. Hey, dumb. How about why don't you line up wide as hell? When he sets, you move down.
Because you can move.
Because you can move all day.
Player, yes.
So now he's stuck like, oh, crap. This dude moved, and I got to block down, and I can't get to him because he'll get up the field, and that block. So now when you get up the field, he's going to take the TE block. TE block is a front side pull. So that means just tight end or whoever's outside is blocking down, and the tackle who usually blocks out is going to pull. Usually guards pull. So it's a front side pull. Front side pull, you squeeze. Backside pull, you spill. So what you guys need to understand, when somebody pulls from the opposite side, you're supposed to spill him. That means you hit inside his inside shoulder to seal the gap with your body and the outside gap with his body. But because you're hitting him from the inside, it may bounce him into the running back, which makes the running back have to lose ground to get outside, which gives everybody on defense an opportunity. Yeah.
You're pushing
to get
him into his path,
right,
which makes him have to go back a few yards,
right,
which also buys more time,
right,
for the defense to adjust.
So front side pull happens faster. So, of course, you don't want to spill him because then now it's like you're not there because the ball can get outside faster. So what you do is you go and you hit his upfield shoulder to make the runner have to cut it up to all your pursuit. These guys might be the this is why I talk about this all the time. This may be the dumbest football players in the hit. I don't know how long the football game has been being played. These might be the dumbest football players I have ever.
You're saying this generation of football players.
This generation of football players may be the dumbest. Like, I'm sorry, I don't want to use a harsh word.
Just say dumb.
They might be the most idiotic.
Okay, there's that too.
Dumb. Blind. People.
They just aren't reading the game you're saying.
I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
This is the most.
You say this a lot. We had Frank Gore on. Frank Gore was saying the same thing. Why he's able to play so long was because he said that these guys don't. They're not smart.
Did you hear Tom Brady when he had his interview saying, "Hey, the game is so easy to me because like we don't hold offensive players accountable for making mistakes. We hold the defense accountable for bad quarterback play. These guys got to be the dumbest. Like, because all I would do is line up wide. And N'Keal Harry, dumb butt, would line up wide because he has to. Because that's his job. Because if you line up wide, he can't line up inside you.
All right, this is perfect. Because as you mentioned, you know, Keyshawn Johnson's going to join us. And you're talking about receiver who would understand where you're coming from. So Key joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Key, how you doing? So I want to get your take on what Bart, or your reaction from your experience, for what Bart's saying, like what he saw last night, that the Bills played it poorly. The fact that you knew they were going to run, and he explained it in one instance with N'Keal Harry. Go ahead.
Okay, Key, front side pull, right? If you see N'Keal Harry, who can't catch when the conditions are perfect, you know he damn sure ain't catching no ball when it's inclement weather, so you know he's there to block down on you. As a defensive end, I would line up wide to begin, knowing that he would have to line up outside of me, and then I can move. Once you're set, you can't move. So now it defeats the purpose of where he lined up because he can't get his job done. Not only did they allow it to happen once, they did it like four damn times, and the defensive end done, but kept getting upfield, getting blocked down on.
Well, what you have to do as a defender, because clearly I was the best to ever do it. I don't take credit for it. I don't ask for credit for it, but can't nobody ever blocked the defensive ends as well as I did when I played. It's not even close. What you have to do as a defensive end is you don't necessarily have to get wide. What you do is you turn your butt, your ass to the sideline. So if he turns his ass to the sideline, you can't clip him. So that's one thing that the Buffalo Bills didn't do is they didn't have the defensive lineman, the DN, turn his butt to the sideline. So he's almost like cocked sideways, and that's how you can defeat the opportunity of somebody coming and getting you. So what would happen is when N'Keal Harry, much like Bart is saying, he's standing there. You know, based on game plan, he ain't running a shallow cross. He ain't running the deep crosser. There's a lot of things that he is not doing as a offensive player. So the first thing you do is you just turn your butt to the side. And that's it. You'll eat that up. You'll swallow that whole when he goes a step down because he wasn't even really doing nothing to you except pushing you.
It's crazy, man. Or how about you can stand up? There's so many things you can do. When they used to do that to us, just play around with it. We'd get outside of you. I would move outside of you and pin you down and throw you into the puller.
Now, with all that in mind, and by the way, this is Straight Talk, by Straight Talk Wireless. Like it's Bart who has said this several times before, that he feels like this generation of players doesn't have like they're not challenged to be.
They are the
smart
dumbest.
All right, he just says they're the dumbest.
They are the dumbest
players.
This is the dumbest.
Do you see the game this
ever
way
been
too?
Played at?
Do you see the game this way too? Do you feel like that there's a like the football IQ isn't what it used to be for whatever reason?
You know, I don't know if it's that or if it's just that they're not being coached well enough.
No,
I put more onus and blame on the coaching than I do on the football IQ part of things, just because. When you put in the same position over and over and over again, is that on the player or is that on the coach? When you don't change up your personnel to match their personnel, when we go jumbo in the middle of the field, a heavy personnel in the middle of the field, why do we have 3 and 4 DBs out there? Why don't we have 2 and 3 Bart Scotts out there in one corner to cover N'Keal Harry, who's the lone receiver? The linebacker should be able to cover the tight end, or the strong safety should be able to cover the tight end if they decide to throw the ball, or if they decide to throw N'Keal Harry, I got my top corner on him. But they wouldn't do that. I don't know. I mean, that's on, as far as I'm concerned, that's on Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott.
So is this game, again, so after the game, all of us have that same reaction about Bill Belichick, and it's just like a game like this in these conditions, on the road, all that stuff, and they only throw it three times. They basically tell you, we're going to run it every time. There's nothing you could do about it. 90% of their plays are run plays, and the Bills couldn't do really much about it. Had him chasing from the very beginning of the game, and it's just like, wow, he's just a mastermind. Is it Belichick the mastermind, or is it that the Bills
are dumb?
We're just not prepared for this game.
When you say mastermind, okay, so one of my coaches texts me this morning, and he goes, it's not that Bill Belichick is a genius. It's Bill Belichick is anti-genius. He's not running around like some of these other coaches that people hide. Oh, he's such an offensive innovator, and he's a this and he's a that. He said Bill Belichick recognized and realized the one person he cannot defeat is the weather. Mm-hmm. Okay? So he's going to play to the weather and not try and defeat that. Other coaches think they're so smart that their schemes is going to make things work. All Bill said was, man, it's snowing, it's raining, it's sleet, it's 40 miles an hour wind. We're getting ready to just dominate them up front. Something's going to pop eventually. The 67-yard touchdown wouldn't be a touchdown if the safety didn't overrun the pursuit. He cut back, he overran the pursuit, nothing he could do. He was the last wave of defense. That's why he's the safety. Now that's the 7 points. Then they come back on the goal line, the 6 points, they come back on the goal line and instead of the PAT because he realizes if I kick it, it's going to go wide, right, and left. So that means that we're going to be up 6-0. Let's take a chance on being up 8-0. So we're just going to run the same play. We're going to toss
same
it.
Same play.
N'Keal Harry crack down, pull, bam. He's going to beat him to the edge. We up 8-0. Well, Sean McDermott had a chance to put points on the board. Instead of using Josh Allen's legs, he kicked the field goal. Guess what? Why right?
Oh, yeah.
So that ain't all that is the coach being smart enough to realize in that particular weather, I'm not asking my quarterback to drop back 30 damn times, no matter how strong his arm is.
Hey, Key, like,
does that seem like that's that difficult?
Yeah, well, that's what it, you know what it is? It's that whole keep it simple, stupid. game will tell you what to do.
Hey, Key, you know that new trend out there, like, hey, tell me you black without telling me you black, or tell me you white without telling me you white. Like, as a linebacker, it's like one of those things, right? We've all been in that 9-on-7 period. Like, usually the receivers are kind of watching because they're doing one-on-ones on the other side. You hear all that, ooh, all that, because people getting their ass laid out on 9-on-7. Because as a linebacker or as a fullback, you know it ain't no blitzing, ain't really nothing going on, ain't no passing. It's just mano and mano. So the Bills linebackers told me they were scared without telling me they were scared. Because whenever you see a linebacker line up at 2.5 yards or line up at 3, that's because they ain't about that action. They don't want that collision because they're getting rolled off on. So they're trying to hurry up and get there and get you before you get your momentum built up. So when I saw those linebackers being up there that flat, that's why it popped. Because when you're not on different levels as a defense, once you break one level, you can't retrace your steps and make a tackle, especially on a huge back like that. So when they broke the run, that's because they up there, they so scared. They up there trying to fit up, trying not to get rolled up on, and that's why it popped, because they were on different levels. So it was clear to me that they were told, hey, we got to be tough. But everybody that talk and act like they tough in football ain't really tough, and it's not just – position specific. You got some soft fullbacks, you got some soft linebackers, and what's a goon to a goblin? And yesterday the Bills, once again, is going to have to dispel this notion that they soft, because every time they go against somebody that's about that action, whether it's the Colts, whether it's the Patriots, whether it's the Titans, they get rolled up on.
Yeah, I never felt like the Bills, in full transparency, I never felt like the Bills was a dominant defense like that. They had some moments a year ago that they were good on defense, and because of Les McCrasian and Sean McDermott's reputation, and they went to the AFC Championship game, the first thing that all you smart analysts like Bart Scott and Han, y'all just catapulted them into one of the top two or three defenses in all of the land, and that wasn't never the case. They were not the Baltimore Ravens of Bart Scott and Ray Lewis, Tampa Bay Buccaneers of Simeon Rice and Derrick Brooks. They wasn't never like that. But for whatever reason, when somebody has a good few games or they stop a team from scoring points and winning games, everybody just take them and put them on another level. And we got to stop doing that.
And you know a team I want to put on another level? I think I'm ready to buy all in on the Arizona Cardinals, man. I think the Arizona
don't
Cardinals.
Man,
you have flipped because you started the season. You called him, what did you call him, Baby Yoda? Like, you were not in on that team at all. Now you're going to flip?
Because of the defense is tough and the run game is tough. This ain't the traditional air raid type of system. They can win in multiple ways. And little Baby Yoda coming back, man.
He may have won. Every time you believe in them, what happens?
I just don't listen.
No, Mighty Mouse and them are good. There ain't no question about it, Bart. Mighty Mouse is a good quarterback. They do a good thing. They run the ball well. But they ain't really – I mean, they beat the Rams, and we went crazy. The 49ers ain't real. Seattle ain't real. Chicago and showing the hell ain't real. The Green Bay hobbled in there and popped them with no players. So they still got a lot to prove to me. A lot.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm with you when you're right, Key.
We're going to leave it right there. Key, that was great. It was great, though, between the two of you, again, breaking down the game the way a lot of fans don't actually get to see it.
Key was up in there clipping
night.
People, hitting them in the back of the head, getting them concussions, Key. Those got long-term ramifications.
We were so smart, and I know y'all up against the clock, but who cares? We would line me up like that in a bunch formation. I would just tee off on the defensive end, or we would motion me to the bunch.
Yep.
As soon as I get about a good foot away, we snap the ball, he come up the field, bam, guard pull, tackle pull, center pull, out the gate. Curtis Martin, touchdown.
Yeah, I remember Andre Johnson tried that on me one time. I grabbed his face mask, smacked him in the back of the helmet, and threw the ball
around. I ain't Andre Johnson, though. But I ain't Andre Johnson. And if you would have tried to get in a wide, if you'd have tried to walk out and get in a wide technique and stand up, all I'm gonna do is reach block you and pull you to the water bucket.
I would have had to belly back you, Keyshawn, like the Steiner brothers, man. I would have had to put you Big Papa.
Man, you better go put in some of that film.
You better put mine in too, Key.
We're gonna do that now as we go to break.
You was an undersized linebacker, man. Nobody scared you, man.
Keyshawn Johnson, thanks so much, Key. Good
you
to talk
feelings,
to you, man.
You heard my feelings, Smoke. You just heard my feelings. Call me little, man.
Nah, you know that's fun. On the Goodyear Hotline, that was Straight Talk, Brett Ray, Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. But it was really educational hearing both of you from both sides of it. You, the linebacker, him, the receiver, and what should have happened. Because we're all just gushing about, wow, this game plan. But in the reality, like you're saying, and even Key confirmed, it really wasn't a good job by the Bills. And maybe they just weren't built for what you had to be built for to play this game.
But this is
says
a
lot this about the AFC.
This is a dumb thing. You just got beat on a play for the touchdown, and they ran the same play for the two-point conversion. How dumb do you have to be? You just saw it.
We'll consider that during the break. We want you to be part of Barton Hunt Nation. Dr. McCall in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is heating up. The fans are hyped. Return to glory fans by Dr. Pepper. The one fans the Derby. Got your calls. We also want to ask, why isn't Sean McDermott giving any credit at all to Bill Belichick?
He was dumb.
You wait to hear what he had to say. But first, Bart's got to tell you about ZipRecruiter.
Tell you what's not dumb.
What's
ZipRecruiter.
No, no.
If you're a business owner, it can be tough to hire the top talent for your team, especially when you're competing with the other businesses to find the right people. So how can you get the hiring edge? ZipRecruiter. Next Key marketing manager Erin Hargy loves ZipRecruiter Invite to Apply. She says, they get my job posted in front of the right people. I instantly see great candidates, and I can invite them to apply to my job. See for yourself. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/BART, to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BART. Key, quit playing.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Bart and Han.
I'm Doug Brown. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reports the NBA is telling all teams that unvaccinated players won't be able to travel to Toronto for games starting January 15th. because they will not be allowed back in the U.S. The same would apply to unvaccinated players who leave the country during the All-Star break. The Vikings activate cornerback Patrick Peterson from the COVID-19 list. He missed the team's loss to the Lions on Sunday. Minnesota hosts the Steelers on Thursday night. College basketball's Jimmy V Classic doubleheader tonight at Madison Square Garden. 13th-ranked Tennessee meets Texas Tech, followed by number 6 Villanova against Syracuse. Coverage at 6:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio, TV, and the app. And UConn's Paige Beckers will be out 6 to 8 weeks with a bone fracture near her left knee.
Apologies to the people.
Yeah, somebody's got some apologies here. Barton Hunt, Allen Hall, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, represented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. Apologies to those who have been sending the messages about us on ESPN Plus. Trying to work on whatever the technical issues are, and hopefully they get us up for those who can't see us right now. We apologize. You can hear us, though. At least you got that.
So I can unbuckle my belt.
If you'd like. You can't see my nice LIU swag, though.
You saw what I was eating. Who's LIU?
What do you mean, who's LIU? How dare you? Long Island University.
Ah, nice.
Shark Nation. That's Come dope. On, man. Right?
I like the logo, too, though.
It's my alma mater, and they hooked me up. They got me some good swag, and I was really appreciative.
I like the logo, too, man.
Yeah. You got to see the shark. They gave me the hockey jersey.
Yeah.
Hockey jersey, ridiculous.
I bet it's fire, man.
It's ridiculous.
It kind of looks like...
This is like the LA Rams colors, Chargers colors. Yeah, very similar. Their football team.
That's nice.
It's a very good football team. The basketball programs, but the hockey programs really caught my attention because it's new. I love anything new. So
they need a defense consultant.
Dude, and I'm not joking. When you talk defense, and I should start pulling out my phone and just recording these things, but I don't want to give it away for free. When you go through your breakdown of what should happen or how to read things, and you're very technical with positioning. With what to see, what are the triggers, what are the hints, the clues. Like, you are like, seriously, you're like a guy sitting at a table playing cards and you can read everybody at the table. Like, you're that guy. And there's a value to that goes beyond explaining it to people like me on radio. Like, there's way more value to this. And when you and Key are on opposite sides of the ball and you're describing, well, this is what I would do, and then Key's like, well, this is what I would do, it's fascinating.
Well, they should just know what I would do would be what he would.
I told you. This is the scene from Good Will Hunting where Ben Affleck.
You know what? That was on TV the other
up,
day.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the scene I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Where he pulls up to the house.
Yeah.
And out comes Matt Damon, and he's like, you know, one of these days, I pull up to your house, and I don't want you to be there.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Like, I'm hoping you're not there.
He's like, all the
Because
guys.
You shouldn't be here with us.
So are you my Robin Williams?
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
We'll hug it out later. Well, Sean McDermott doesn't want to. It's not his fault.
It is his fault.
But maybe it is. But he doesn't want to give credit at all, like everybody is doing right now, to Bill Belichick. Because I guess it's hard to do. This felt so Rex. If you watch McDermott on the sideline, man, he was fired up the whole game. He was giving it to every official.
Yep.
Like, I've never seen him that mad. Like, he was angry.
More pressure on him.
When his defense got to stop, he's running around. He's high-fiving guys. Like, he was Rex Ryan. He went crazy.
And the difference is, his guy who never missed a field goal inside of 50 missed a field goal.
Yeah, but,
and Nick Folk, like he said. Nick Folk.
We fired twice. We got to talk about Nick Folk later. But like he said, it's like, why are you kicking? Like, it's the elements are telling you, do not kick the ball. Don't do it.
He had to kick that one, and he just played it wrong a little bit too much English.
Too much English.
He had to win with. You saw Nick play. He kicked at the left goalpost, and it went in. You had to play. You got to play to win, baby. It's like out here. It's like Sydney Dean.
I was just gonna say. I knew you were going reference
you had to,
there.
You at the beach, baby.
I knew.
The wind can push your ball a little couple inches to the left. I ain't even on TV. They can't even see my dance.
Nah, they can't even see your dance right now. All right, so listen to the Bills coach right now when he's hearing all this Bill Belichick love. And, you know, it's what a masterful performance by the opposing head coach.
Let's not give more credit than we need to give credit to Bill Belichick in this one. Whether it's Bill or anybody else, they beat us. But you sit here and you tell me when we start with the average starting field position of the 40-yard line and he starts with the 23-yard line, and I'm rounding up in both cases, and we were 1-for-4 in the red zone and they were 0-for-1 in the red zone, you give me that ahead of time, I'm saying I like my chances. with all due respect, it's not a Bill Belichick type thing. It's what are you doing with the opportunities you got? What are you doing with the opportunities you got? We turn the ball over at the plus 30-some yard line. Sloppy football. Sloppy football. So
he's blaming
I'm very comfortable in that situation.
So he's saying that I didn't get outcoached. Yo, we got outplayed.
Bro, no, you got your only score pretty much because N'Keal Harry reached over and the ball hit his face. Mm-hmm. So the one that Breida did and gave them the ball, that's even.
Right.
That's even Steven. You mm-hmm. both basically got two gimmies. The problem is you didn't come up with a good enough play calling in the red zone. Because even like, why are you not using Josh Allen's legs on purpose? Like the same way that they ran that ball to the outside, they could have crack tossed and the person that, and they could have pulled the front side guy. And guess what they could do that Bill Belichick couldn't do? They can fake the RPO to the running back, and the running back becomes the lead blocker for your 250-pound quarterback that got wheels. Where was that play at? Mm-hmm. Where was the quarterback sweep off of? Because they, you know, you were holding the backside linebacker with the RPO slash slant behind, so you're going to keep that side of the field. So if you would have just did that, you would have got the math by doing a short motion crack, RPO, front side pull. I would have had Moss as my lead blocker.
So again,
on the freaking corner, you would have hit your head on the damn goalpost.
But he's
a new problem.
But he's saying we had field position, we had everything we needed. He's saying the players, we didn't execute. He's making it sound like to me, all right,
how
they
can
didn't
you
execute.
How can you execute in the damn weather? Like you saw Josh Allen throw the ball and the wind took his ball on the back shoulder. So Dodo, the easiest way where guess what, where the ball don't become a issue.
Where?
When you run a damn ball.
Yes, when it's in your hand. Yeah, all right, so on the other side of it, of course, is the defense, and a defense that basically faced 90% of the plays were run plays. Three times Mac Jones threw the football. Three. That's it. But it's what they needed, and he was fine doing it. So on the defensive side, it's got to be embarrassing when a team is just running on you constantly and there's nothing you can do about it. And Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, who you were saying yesterday, these two guys are going to be very important in their matchups in this game. They were both asked about this, if this was embarrassing for the defense.
I mean, what kind of question?
What are we doing, bro?
What kind of question is that?
It's a very valid question.
The nation's going to be criticizing you about calling yourself.
All right. I think we gave up 7 points.
Yeah,
14 to 10.
The points.
We made stops when we had to. They had one big run. I mean, they got good backs.
All right.
They kept coming back to a couple runs. I mean, I don't know how you want us to answer that question.
Yeah, you want
to. That's funny. We'll remember that. I'll remember that.
Remember it. Write it down.
Yeah, it sucks. It's a good football team that we lost to today, and you know we'll figure out a way to bounce back. Thanks.
This goes disrespect. It's all about respect. I come here every single week and I answer your questions truthfully, honestly. I appreciate you guys. Don't do that.
Wow. I mean, there's some.
Man, they should have gave me an honorary pass to be a reporter. Because you're damn right. Is it embarrassing that they just kept running the ball down your throat and you knew that they weren't passing the ball and there was absolutely nothing you could do for it? And guess what, Micah Hyde? You missed the tackle,
Bart,
that made him hit his head on the damn goalpost.
Hang on, Bart. What did we learn here? The head coach blamed the players. The defense blamed the offense.
How can they
That's
do
what
that?
They're saying. Hey, we only left 14 points. This is what we're doing. This is all pointing fingers right now for a Buffalo Bills team that we thought could be. Again, this is almost as close to like a Cleveland Browns thing now where this is a team we were expecting to take that step. I don't know.
Bro.
Are they showing you they're ready to take that step? We got to run.
No.
I know, but we do. 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So we got calls to take from you.
It's embarrassing, bro.
So are the Bills now in that same category for you where you looked at them and you were expecting them to be a team that maybe they can be a team that believe in the AFC. And what you saw last night is, nope, not them either. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We have a poll up on at Barton Hahn asking the same question as that. You know, who do you trust in the AFC that can beat the Patriots? Will the AFC go through New England? We got your calls coming up and everything else as well. But first, I'm going to tell you to join host Gotham Chopra as he explores what Tom Brady has meant to football and the world in Man in the Arena, a new podcast from ESPN Plus and Religion of Sports. A companion piece to Gotham's ESPN Plus docuseries, this 10-part podcast examines the improbable ripple effects of Brady's career, things that have forced us to rethink everything we thought we knew about time, hatred, perfection, even fate. The podcast is brought to you by State Farm, ZipRecruiter, and Rocket Mortgage. Listen and follow Man in the Arena now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and stream the docuseries on ESPN+.
Bart and Han.
Welcome back, Bart and Han. All right, so Bart, Steph Curry has been on, he's had a hell of a career, as we know. And I think we've already anointed him as the best shooter in the history of the game. Okay. Best shooter in the history of the game. Would you say that confidently?
I do. You know, him, Reggie Miller, but, you know, back in the day, you weren't putting up as many shots or attempts. You had to go through your big man. So, like,
well, they didn't shoot threes. Like,
His record would be his, but, I mean, the game has changed. So it's just like when you look at people that's going to have the passing record, that's going to – like, who's going to pass Tom Brady?
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible.
We'll see if the game changes. But so he had 7 threes against Orlando, mm-hmm. and that now leaves him just 16 three-pointers away from breaking Ray Allen's career three-point record.
Yeah.
Okay. So he plays Wednesday against Portland.
Yeah.
And Portland's not good. They don't defend. There you go. It's also on ESPN, so we get to see it. And he kind of made a joke when somebody said they think he can do it in the next game, 16 threes. And he said anything's possible.
He's looking for motivation, right?
But here's the thing. They also play – he plays Saturday at Philly, so they go on an East Coast trip.
48 points.
And then it's at Indiana, and then Tuesday at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. He's not going to break it in the Garden.
You think it'll be done by then?
Yeah, it'll be done.
That'd be only four threes a game, which he doesn't hit four threes. It's more than that.
Yeah, he'll like five.
So, yeah, so he should get it by then.
I hope that he
before then.
And we don't need another record taker.
But it's record. Still, he's again, in that place of the best that to ever do it.
Well,
but getting this record is his milestone at this point, right?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
Hall of Fame, everything else for him is done.
Because he's known for changing the game. See, but this, so now you get into this discussion. Best shooter, that I think everybody already knows that, right? I mean, his family is the best shooting family in history, right? Him, Dale, Seth, even
his
Seth
dad,
can shoot. Yeah,
brother.
I bet his mom, because he got a good hook shot, left, right hand. Like, I bet she probably could shoot too.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, where do we put Steph as little man? Because he's 6'3", so he's not technically Isaiah Thomas or Allen Iverson.
No.
But we look at him the same way. Where does he go in that respect as the best little guy to ever do it? Little guard, like John Stockton, Isaiah Thomas, Allen Iverson. Like, where does he go there? Because most people would probably put him – would you put him above – Allen Iverson never won a championship.
Yeah.
Would you put him above John Stockton?
I'd rather even go beyond that. Because you got to make the case that he is –
Don't say he's top five. Would you put him better?
One of the best guards to ever play the game. I told you, he's changed the game.
Yeah, I understand that, but would you put him above? I'm talking about like out of all players, right?
Yeah, well, all players. We tried this once before.
Yeah,
would he be in the top five? And we said there's just no way you can't fit him in.
Can you put him in top 10? Can you put him before Kevin Durant?
Top 10 all
time. Kevin Durant's right there, man.
Top 10 all time. If he's not on the top 10 all time list, something's wrong.
Hold up.
Something's wrong. Steph Curry, multiple championships, multiple MVPs.
No, let's go there.
The greatest shooter in the history of the game, and you can't find a spot for him in the top 10?
Let's go there. Would you put
and
him,
the longevity
no,
of his career?
No, let's go there. Would you put him above Kevin Durant?
Not above Kevin Durant.
So if he's not above Kevin Durant, we know he's not above LeBron, Jordan.
That's one guy.
Jordan,
We have our five. We already have our
Magic,
five. Now you're saying
Bird.
Six. Seven, eight, nine. Look, it's a very difficult discussion.
You going to put him before Dirk?
See, we already ran out of time.
Put him before
we
Dirk?
We need more time for this discussion.
Well, we just take it to the next 10 seconds.
We might have to do that back in 10 seconds.
It'd be hard to fit him in the top 15. Oh, that struck
yeah,
a
it
nerve.
Is. All right.
That struck a nerve,
it
Allen
did. Barton Hodd. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Keyshawn Johnson joined us earlier. In this hour, we got Jay Will join us in the next hour. Let's do Getting It Done, brought to you by Grainger. I am going to call an audible here because of what we just discussed. Is Steph Curry getting it done? He's 16 threes away from the NBA record for three-pointers made in a career. He's chasing Ray Allen. And they play Wednesday night against Portland. 10 o'clock, ESPN, mm-hmm. and he was joking that, you know, anything's possible. He can make 16 in a game, right?
16? That's 40, that's 48.
I'm saying. Like he said anything's possible. It's probably not.
He can go for 12.
But he could get, you know, and then they play Saturday. They start a East Coast trip. They play at Philly. So you could see it happening Monday at Indiana. And wouldn't that be something? In Indiana, where Reggie Miller, right, used to reign, and if he would get it there, interesting. Right?
I would love if
the house of Reggie Miller.
What they would do is that what they should do is like they should have Rich Smith sitting there like he the ball boy, and when Steph throw one up, just throw it out of there. Not in my house. You ain't breaking our legend.
No, not today. But he's clearly getting it done, and it just started this argument. I know we'll bring Jay Will on this in about 10 minutes. But it is where do you put him? He's going to get this record. So where do you put him in the pantheon of all-time greats? Because the longer he plays and the more he accomplishes, the more you've got to start pushing him closer and closer into the top. And you said,
Like,
is he top 10? And I'm thinking, no. If you're the greatest shooter in the history of the game and you've impacted the game, where you've changed the way we play the game, how are you not in the top 10?
Thank you for your contribution.
How are you not in the top 10?
He might make the top 15.
I'm not doing the list now. We're going to make the list when we get with Jay because I got to figure this one out. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Granger's always there to help. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. Let's get some calls here. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Orlando in Georgia. Orlando.
Are football players dumb, Orlando?
Hey guys, how you doing, man?
Good,
I'm really for South Philly. I just love your good cop, bad cop routine. That's cool. I think
who's the bad cop?
Well, of course, Mr. Bart is. Yo, come on.
So I'm Billy Ray. Why can't we both be bad? Why can't I be Billy Ray Valentine and he can be you can be Nick Nolte?
Yeah,
it's not
I like
in your DNA,
better.
Man.
Yeah. 48 hours.
I got to keep it on the road. That's all. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. I think the biggest problem with this generation with the football player guys is the two big words, constructive criticism.
Mm.
If you're in a college coach and you hurt these guys' feelings by being rep, they just transport and they go to someplace else. So
well, think about what you just heard. Orlando, what did he just play you? Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer getting angry at a reporter for asking a question, which is, was that embarrassing? They ran it 90% of the time. You knew they were running it, and
you couldn't do
anything about it. Isn't that embarrassing?
Right.
And instead of him saying, like, you know what, man,
right.
we got to – yeah, it wasn't bad.
Especially one of Michael High who missed it.
You're mad at the reporter for asking the question. Oh, that's disrespectful. Is it? I want to know. I'm not being disrespectful. Yeah. I want to know if you're embarrassed or not. So they're already sensitive to that question. Yeah.
You gave up 200 yards rushing, bro.
Yeah.
Well, I took military police training in the early 80s. So our mentality, our skin was thicker, but – especially you, Mr. Bart, you two guys were good PIs. But the skin is thinner with these athletes today. I don't know why that is.
Yeah, Bart went through it yesterday. Orlando, thanks, man.
I thought I was going to get fired. I say, hey, man, are you the janitor? What? What did you call me? I am the waste engineer. Like, man, come on, man. All right, whatever, dog.
Well,
whatever your title is, like, stop it.
Still, you know, when you get beat like that, you just sometimes you got to just wear that
and
L.
Your manhood.
Will we get a third ever 70-win team this season in the NBA? And where does Steph Curry rank all time? All that coming up next. Barton Hahn.